Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer. And baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's C-Dot.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Happy Red Friday to you and yours. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Friday. Do we have a lot to get into in today's show? It is a very busy Friday. We have the border war coming up between Missouri and Kansas. We will hear from the Missouri side and also the KU side. I feel like we have said this three or four times, but I think the expectation is that Darren Peterson is going to play in Sunday's matchup against Missouri. We'll talk about that. We're going to head to Houston here coming up in a little bit to get you ready for Sunday night football. We also have the World Cup draw that is out, so we have an idea of who could possibly be coming to Kansas City. We'll get Rob's thoughts on that coming up in a bit. Rob is a big soccer fan. We're also going to be joined by somebody who covers soccer to get you guys updated on everything. So, you don't have to go anywhere. Just sit back in your chair at the office and put in these last 3-4 hours of the work week and let us get you there. Happy to be here with you as we get ready for a very eventful weekend here locally when it comes to the sports scene. Before we do any of that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And most importantly, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show each day is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for somewhere to watch Sunday Night Football, if you're looking for somewhere to watch Missouri take on Kansas this weekend, then the best place to do that and grab a bite to eat, grab something to drink, be at a sports bar where things are happening, is with our friends over at The Other Place with 5 locations all across the Kansas City metropolitan area. So let's start with Sunday Night Football, and I promise you we'll get to the border war. I promise you we'll get to the World Cup, but we got to start with Sunday Night Football. I know that I've been down this week on the Chiefs, and we talked about it. I got to tell you guys how I feel and where I'm currently standing and what my opinion is. But I decided last night, and I decided this morning, I was going back and listening to certain segments. You guys know where I sit, but it's my job to tell you the how. I think the Chiefs have a chance of winning this game. They certainly have a chance of winning this game. So what I'm going to focus on today is trying to tell you guys the how I think that's possible, or how I think the Chiefs can do this. So let's start with this. A lot of times I pose questions on the show that I want you guys to think about. And what I have gathered in reading for the last couple of days have been this. There is one final question left with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the last question that the Chiefs can answer for us is trying to figure out if the Chiefs are a good team that is quite simply just had bad luck. Because if you are someone who subscribes to the this team is just one or two plays away, and if they figured out a way to make the one or two plays, then they can get this thing right back on track. And I'm not telling you you're wrong if you believe that. I mean, that is the company line. That is what Andy Reid said to the media on Monday to kick off the week, that he believes this offense, this defense, this special teams unit, them as a collective, they are just one or two plays away from figuring this thing out and getting back on track.
Yeah, so Pete, you're one or two plays away. And that's what this game is. I mean, you look at our season, we're one or two plays off. And we've got to take care of that. Whether it's a penalty at a crucial time, possible turnover somewhere, or having a chance to create a turnover, we're right in position where if we can figure out those two, three plays, you flip this around. I mean, you're talking 3-point game, one score games here that we're dealing with. So, but you've got to do that. And you got to figure that out. And that's our challenge. As coaches, we got to make sure we're putting the guys in the right position. Got to make sure we're mentally prepared to play four quarters and then have a positive attitude. You're not going to hear a lot of positive from the outside coming in. So you got to make sure that you understand where you really sit and the opportunities that you have sitting in front of you. And, I know our fans understand that. I mean, you guys understand it. You're here, but there's still opportunity.
So that is Andy Reid talking about this team, talking about this offense, and the feeling that they are just a couple of plays away. I would say in some regards that we have kicked the can down the road as absolutely far as you can kick it with the Kansas City Chiefs. They have run out of mulligans. At the beginning of the week, I use the emergency fund analogy. The Chiefs have spent all of the money when it comes to their emergency fund. They are now living check to check. One bad thing that can happen can send you to the poorhouse, can now get you evicted from your apartment. That's where the Chiefs currently sit if we are using that when it comes to their ability to make the postseason. So there is honestly quite just one question left this season for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are at home for all of their important games left the rest of the season. I am not interested in talking to you guys about the Titans game because the Titans might be the worst team in the National Football League. If this team gets to the point where they need to beat Las Vegas, a team that has absolutely nothing to play for, a team that it is in their organization's best interest to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs to try to get the absolute best draft pick possible, then this team is making the postseason. So I've put those games already in the win column. So I know that it says that the Chiefs are 6-6. In my world, the Chiefs are 8-6. And it comes down to their ability to win three games against three teams that have very similar aspirations of Kansas City. These are teams that think if they get into the playoff, they can make something happen. With that defense, if you're the Houston Texans and you get into the playoffs and you're playing young, inexperienced quarterbacks, you feel like you can go on a run. You certainly got to feel that way if in three of the last 4 weeks, you have beat Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Buffalo. Those are the kind of teams you're going to need to beat to find yourself in San Francisco in the final game of the season. So you are playing like opponents. There's one question left for the Chiefs. Are you a good team that has quite simply had some bad luck? And now, starting this Sunday, you have the opportunity to turn that luck around. You have the opportunity to make those one or two plays that can find yourself in the winning position and start playing with some momentum. Start getting the ball rolling and try to get back on track and find yourself in the postseason. Now, I would say the other thing that I'm looking for, because again, I'm only interested today in telling you guys the how I think the Chiefs can figure this out. I want to play for you guys what Matt Nagy had to say because these are not my words. It's one thing for me to tell you guys that I think this game is going to be a close, low-scoring, rock fight, drag-it-out kind of game. It's another thing for their offensive coordinator to tell you this. Here's Matt Nagy.
They're really, really good on their whole defense. So when you have the guys on the inside, the linebackers, the DBs, everything, it presents a challenge. I think in this game for us, we create our game plan offensively. What do we want to do? Make that loud and clear to the offense in the beginning of the week. And then we got to execute it and know what kind of game this is going to be. It's probably not going to be a real pretty game, and that's okay. This team doesn't allow many points. So when you go into it, the goal is to score as many as you can, but what's real and how you're going to do it. And I think the team messaging, the offensive messaging from us is just do what you're supposed to do, coach how we're supposed to coach. And we have a lot of trust in our guys, and I think a lot of confidence, but we have a lot of respect because they're a good football team and they're very well coached.
I don't want to get hung up on this fact, but that is the offensive coordinator of a team that has Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. He is telling you that he thinks this is going to be a low-scoring football game. Now, I agree with him, so I'm not here to pick apart his words. But what I think is super, super important, this offensive line is super beat up. And if you are the Houston Texans, you are a shark that smells blood. Because the one thing that you do, maybe better than any team in the National Football League, is get after other teams' quarterbacks. And if you are looking at film study and you're looking at Wanya Morris and you're looking at Jalen Moore and you're looking at Mike Caliendo, you are licking your chops with the feeling that you are about to disrupt this offensive line and you are about to make a long evening for Patrick Mahomes. It is now the goal. It is now the expectation for Andy Reid and Matt Nagy to figure it out and come up with a scheme or a game plan that gives Patrick Mahomes and this offense a chance. Because if we are talking about this being a not pretty game and this being a low scoring defensive type game, I think the Chiefs defense can stay with Houston's offense. I don't think that Houston is coming in here at night if it's 20 degrees outside and hanging a 30 spot on Kansas City. This is going to be a tightly contested one possession, one score game late where it comes down to those one or two plays that the Chiefs, by their own words, are telling you we haven't made so far this season. I trust Patrick Mahomes' ability to make those one or two plays, but not if he's on his back and not if he is running to save his life. Can the Chiefs come up with the scheme? Can the Chiefs come up with the game plan to make the game easier for Patrick Mahomes? Where if this game turns out to be in the final 5 minutes, your offense has the football, have you put them in a position where they can go down the field, they can take advantage, and they can score? And in the same way that the Broncos beat you a couple of weeks ago, where they had the ball last and they were able to kick the game-winning field goal, can you give yourself and your team an opportunity to do the exact same thing? We're going to get to the World Cup here coming up in about 20 minutes as we have all of the groups. They have been selected. We'll figure out tomorrow who is potentially playing in Kansas City. Before we do that, we're going to head to Houston, Texas, and be joined by Landry Locker, who covers the team. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the World Cup draw. I did get a chance to watch it with Rob, and I saw Rob as miserable as I've ever seen him for a portion. Having to sit there and watch him watch skit after skit, and I'm just laughing. Like, I mean, I don't care one way or the other. I don't know anything about this. Rob's explaining to me this country can't be in this group, and this team is good, and this is a group of death. I mean, I'm coming to it like I have absolutely no clue. But just watching how mad Rob and Scott Parks were after they kept thinking they were about to announce it, and then they didn't announce it. I mean, that was all the entertainment that I needed. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit, but let's get back to Sunday Night Football. Let's be joined by friend of the show, Landry Locker, who covers the Houston Texans. Landry, how you doing today, my man?
Living good, man. Living good. Little prime time. Two sleeps till prime time. I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely, man. So let's start with this. What's turned around for this Houston Texans team? Because we're talking about a team that was 3-5 in the first portion of the season. And since then, they have beaten Jacksonville, Buffalo, and Indianapolis and put themselves in the possible contender category in the AFC.
The defense has just become kind of a superpower. And quite frankly, they found ways to finish games. A lot of times they're kind of hanging by a thread. Early in the year, they had a couple turnovers late to where things could have been different. But really the biggest difference is, number one, the defense has become a superpower. And number two, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are eating at the same time. They're 8-2 when both of those guys get sacks in the last two seasons. And Danielle, in that four-game stretch, I think he has 7 sacks. He was kind of not producing, and then one would and one wouldn't. But the best edge duo in the league, maybe the best corner duo in the league. We'll see what happens with Kamari Lassiter. He was out there working on the side today. But really, the defense has just become a superpower, and it's been able to overcome any shortcomings that the offense may or may not have.
So let's talk about the offense. What do you think the issue is with the offense? Because everyone would agree, the Texans might have the best defense in the National Football League. The offense has struggled a little bit. It's been inconsistent. How much of that is the quarterback? How much of that is the offensive line? Something we've been talking about for the last couple of seasons. Has that been addressed? And we'll get to the offensive weapons here in a bit.
The offensive line's actually gotten better. I think they finally found their best five. Trent Brown was not ready to go. He's actually made a pretty big difference. So they've got that together. It's still not an elite offensive line, but, you know, middle of the pack, they've been performing. They don't run the ball very well, so that's kind of a problem. They're paper thin at that position. They're kind of relying on Woody Marks, a rookie who ideally is really your number two back and a guy that is a receiving threat. And they're terrible in the red zone. So the offense is really kind of similar to what it was last year. I was actually arguing with people today at practice, some of which that work with the Texans, that it has, they believe it's improved. I don't necessarily see that, but it's really the same problems. Like you can take what we were saying about this offense last year and put it in this year. And it's very similar outside of the offensive line is better, but it's not great.
I feel like some of the shine is off of C.J. Stroud, at least nationally. I still look at him as one of the better young quarterbacks in the National Football League. I attribute a lot more to his lack of development, per se, to the pieces that they've put around him. But if he had a capable offensive line, I still think that Stroud's one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. Where are you at with Stroud? Where are you at as we are talking about his development, as he is heading into an offseason in which he can be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, I think he's basically on a seesaw of, you know, the quarterback that you pay, where you have like the Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy area, and then you have the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's up to the top tier, but I think he's somewhere in the middle of the lower tier. I mean, he's had two different systems the last couple of years. The offensive line has been pretty shaky. Last year, I think the receivers, and the year before, really, the receiver depth kind of caught up because they had injuries. that kind of impacted him. But he's improved. It is going to be interesting to see how he uses his legs, because that's always one of the things that has in big games. Sometimes he'll use his legs more than he does in small games. And with him being concussed a month ago, I do wonder, because I think in Kansas City there might be an opportunity. I do wonder how he's going to use his legs. But, I mean, he's good. He's a guy that you're going to pay. It's just a matter of, you know, are you going to be closer to that top tier? Are you going to be the nightmarish tier of quarterbacks that you pay? Or is it going to be somewhere in the middle? I think the surroundings matter. And I think he's actually kind of seems a little bit recharged since he came back. And he's kind of embracing leaning on the defense and all that.
Right now, we're talking to Landry Locker, who covers the Houston Texans, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football. All right, let's talk about the weapons. Let's talk about the pieces. The expectation was that Nick Chubb was going to be their starting running back. Woody Marks has really taken a hold of that job over the last couple of weeks and really starting to figure things out as a rookie. We know a couple of the passing options, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State. He's really come on of late as well. What do you think of the parts around C.J. Stroud that Houston has been able to build?
I think the wide receivers are as deep as they've been. They're definitely deeper than what they were the last time these two teams met, where Stephon Diggs was out for the season, Tank Dell was out for the season. Jaden Higgins has kind of come on, and it happened with Davis Mills. He and CJ never got on the same page. That seems to have kind of continued. So Jaden Higgins is solid. Nico Collins, we know what Nico Collins is capable of. He's kind of turned it up a little bit. And then Jalen Noel is a guy that people would like to see a lot more of, but for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to completely figure things out. And then Christian Kirk just happens to be there. And Dalton Schultz, he's actually having a way better year than he did last year. I would hope, as we talk about this offense, I would hope that part of the game plan isn't him blocking Karlaftis one-on-one, because that did not work out last year. And they kind of went to that well too many times. But the weapons are good. The running back position is very thin, though, and I think that's something to keep an eye on. Woody Marks has actually limped off the field, I think, in the last three games. And after him and Chubb, it's pretty much downhill from there. So they are very thin at running back.
Right now, we're learning a little bit more about the Houston Texans. Let's move from the offensive side to the defensive side of things. I'm picking Houston to win this game for one reason. I think the advantage that they have with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson is the biggest advantage that either team has in this game. And I've seen what Kansas City has looked like, and you've seen it. They play in a lot of high-profile games. If their offensive line isn't right, it usually just breaks down everything else that they want to do. This is a Chiefs team that's not going to have their left tackle, not going to have their right tackle, also not going to have their starting right guard. I mean, 60% of their offensive line we're not expecting to play in this game. Let's talk a little bit more about the defense. And Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, they have completely turned this team's fate around with how they've played the last month or so.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I do wonder if there is some sort of equalizer, but obviously you're going to have to be able to hold on to the ball somewhat if Kamari Lassiter doesn't play. Because if he doesn't play, then that would mean that Tremont Smith, who's more of a special teams guy, would have to line up. And I do think the speed on Kansas City could potentially give the Texans some issues because they're a little bit vulnerable in the slot. I know the last time these teams played, they actually didn't even have a nickelback, so Kelsey kind of ate a little bit. Jalen Petrie is back, but I think he's vulnerable. But I am with you. There is potential for them to feast on the offensive line, but if Lassiter's banged up or Lassiter doesn't play, they have been, despite being a really good defense, they have been vulnerable to some third and longs and some long plays, especially when quarterbacks are able to extend plays. So I do wonder if the status of Kamari Lassiter, who, again, he was on the side trying to get some work in today, if that could maybe be something that the Chiefs could take advantage of.
I mean, that's also the Chiefs' problem on defense as well, is just getting off the field on third downs. Their problem has also just been penalties and just ill-timed penalties. It's been a hold here, a legal motion here, a legal shift, and those kind of things. What we led the show with is, I think a lot of people are trying to figure this out. is Kansas City still a good team that has just fallen on tough times and had bad luck over the duration of this season? As the Chiefs, they have three very important games left at home. They have Houston coming up on Sunday. They play the Chargers next week, and they also have the Broncos on Christmas Day. If the Chiefs can find a way to win all three of those games, then the Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs, but it's going to be avoiding that big mistake and especially doing it against a defense like Houston's that really gets after the quarterback.
See, and I look at it this way. Like, if you laid out all the teams that are in the mix, I think the Chiefs with Mahomes is probably the team that would scare me the most from the Texans' point of view. I look at all these other squads that are up there, and they're not as battle tested. And quite frankly, they don't own the Texans like the Chiefs have in the DeMeco CJ era. So I think the answer to your question maybe, but I don't know that there's any really, really good teams that the Chiefs are going to fear. Like, I don't look at any of these squads in the mix right now and say, okay, well, the Chiefs don't have a chance here. And the other thing about it is, from a Texans point of view, if you are able to go to Kansas City and you're able to all but end this streak that we've seen of them in AFC Championship games, I think that can do a lot for your mojo. So I'm picking the Chiefs to win. You're picking the Texans to win. And I think if the Kansas City Chiefs get in the playoffs with the group that's already in there, I think all bets are off. And quite frankly, I think they got a pretty damn good chance.
I got Houston winning their division. How do you feel about that? Like, I'm looking at the Colts as a team that I think is going to falter down the stretch. I actually think the Colts are going to outright miss the postseason. I think they only win one more game the rest of the year if you look at their schedule. I think Houston, with their defense, with the way that they're kind of turning things around, if they can get over this hump against Kansas City, I think they got a clear path to potentially win that division. Are you there with Houston? My producer, Rob, who you just spoke to, he thinks that Jacksonville is going to win the AFC South.
Man, you look at Jacksonville's schedule, it is so easy. Like, it is Jacksonville, though, but like their schedule is just insanely easy, and it's very well laid out. I think if they beat Kansas City, they'll have a chance. I think they're obviously going to be in the playoffs, but I mean, even it would be hard for even Jacksonville. When you talk about Daniel Jones having the fibula and all that, it would be hard for Jacksonville to screw this up, but if anyone can, it would be them. I would still pick them to somehow win the division, because I could see them actually beating this version of the Colts twice. I think Daniel Jones is kind of on borrowed time right now. But I also don't think it would be the worst thing for Texans to get into the playoffs as a wild card team. They've actually never been in the playoffs as a wild card team. And I think with the way that their defense is and how defense travels and stuff, it might be good for them to kind of get out of their comfort zone. So I'll go with the Jags, which is always dangerous, especially this time of the year. I think we all agree that the Colts, the arrow is pointing down significantly for them. I think the Chiefs kind of ended the Colts a couple weeks ago.
Last thing here, Landry, give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Texans win if scenario.
I think the Texans win. I think it's that battle on offense. I think the Texans win if they can just completely expose the depleted Chiefs offensive line. And I think that the Chiefs win if they're able to take advantage of the Texans' vulnerability, specifically in the slot and with their speed. I think there is a lot of opportunity there for Andy Reid to do some things in the slot and with the big play. So I think that's kind of the chess match that we're looking at. Andy Reid versus his former player, DeMeco Ryans, and a desperate Chiefs team on primetime. And I know y'all are happy that you don't have to listen to Tony Romo, because quite frankly, I don't know how y'all do it out there with Tony Romo. I really don't. If he called all the games, I might have to mute it and listen on the radio for sure.
I'll get you out of here with this, Landry. There is not a person I know that covers and follows the Texas Longhorns as much as you have. They've kind of find themselves in one of the playoff controversies. Do you think Texas should make the college football playoff?
Absolutely not. And I think it's comical and pathetic that Sark is like patting himself on the back for scheduling Ohio State when, much like when the season ended a year before, they get to the 1 yard line and he wets his pants. Like, it's actually kind of insulting that now he's more prepared for his pitch than he is calling plays in the red zone. And it's actually kind of humiliating. It's actually kind of embarrassing to see him representing like that. So no, I don't think they deserve to be in. I get his argument, but I don't think he should be patting himself on the back for scheduling Ohio State, especially with the way that game went down and the way that things were handled in Florida. So absolutely not. I do not think that they should be in the playoff. No chance.
That is our guy Landry Locker joining us on the show today. He covers the Houston Texans. He is picking Kansas City to take care of business at home on Sunday Night Football. Landry, man, I'll catch up with you down the line, man. Always great to catch up with you, my man.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. That is Landry Locker joining us on the show today. Always happy to catch up with him and get his thoughts on the Houston Texans as we get you ready for Sunday Night Football. We'll get back to the NFL coming up in a bit. This is actually one of the best weekends that we've had in the National Football League. I feel like we get things going tonight in college football. We'll find out which Group of Five school is going to end up making the college football playoff, and then tomorrow we got the SEC championship and the Big Ten championship, and we get a chance to see the top teams in college football play each other, and then a great slate on Sunday. So we'll get to that coming up on the other side. But Rob, let's talk about this. So I'm just going to give you my view of watching the World Cup draw for the first time in my life. I made it a point to try to be up here right at 11 o'clock. You guys know I do TV with Fox 4 from 9 to 10. I kind of sit around, hang out with them, you know, just kind of talk. And then I try to get up here around 11 o'clock. But sometimes, you know, I kind of mosey a little bit. I made it a point to try to be here at 11 o'clock. And I look at Rob and I'm like, hey, Rob, text me whenever they're ready, whenever they're about to start doing the announcement. I'm going to work on some stuff, but I want to watch it with you. So I go off and I'm working on some stuff. 11:15 passes. 11:20, 11:30. I text Rob like, hey, did you forget about me? No, they're doing some musical guest. Okay, not really what I was expecting, but okay. Noon happens. I'm thinking Rob just doesn't want to hang out with me. I'm like, Rob, what's going on? Like, no, nothing? No, nah, man, they haven't even started yet. I looked at my watch. What? They haven't started yet? So then I go down and it's me, Scott Parks, Rob, and the boss man, Steven Spector. And watching how mad Rob and Scott Parks were as they were doing this draw made it entirely worth it for me. I don't know who's in what group. I don't know who's good for the most part. I don't know who's bad for the most part. I don't know how the draw works. I'm just sitting there, and after every celebrity appearance, after every skit, after every Kevin Hart joke, I could just see it was making Rob and Scott Parks more and more mad and frustrated. And I looked at Rob and I said, they're not going to do this until 12:30. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, this makes all the sense. They're going to waste your time for 90 minutes. You're going to sit through all of these commercials. And then the 30 minutes at the end are going to be exactly what you wanted it to be. He's like, no. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm just telling you. To see Rob and Scott Parks go from mad to on the edge of their seat, writing it down. I mean, they were like the kids that like are going to actually fill out the bracket for themselves, not wait for CBS Sports to tell you, and then you can print it off the website. I mean, they're sitting there, they're writing it down, they're discussing the groups. I was happy just to see Rob happy as he was watching this. So, Rob, I'm going to move out of the way because I have absolutely no clue what's going on. You guys were so excited about the United States draw. Everybody seems to be so excited about the United States draw, which at least history tells me you were about to be very disappointed in how they play. I'm sitting there thinking, hey, none of these groups really sound that bad. I know there's that group of death, and I'm thinking, all right, one group's going to have like Spain and Brazil and Portugal. That's not how it worked. So I don't know anything about it. So this week, you're going to be our World Cup correspondent for 2026. What did you make of the World Cup draw?
So first and foremost, I will tell you, that was the most drawn out, arduous process I've ever been a part of. I tweeted this out, and I truly feel this way. I will never complain about CBS Sports and how they handle the NCAA tournament ever again. Give me one bracket, commercial break, bracket, break, bracket, break, done. It might be a 10-minute process that takes 45, but that is a breath of fresh air compared to what FIFA was doing. It was Kevin Hart who I don't think he had a script. He just was vibing up there with Heidi Klum. We had skits. We had musical guests. We had Lauryn Hill. We had some sort of, you know, cellist. It was just, we were giving out awards. It was just, we were telling jokes. It was just awful. Awful, awful, awful. And that's before we ever get to the draw part where Wayne Gretzky mispronounced about every country he had to say, including Jordan. He found a way to mess up the country of Jordan. He called it Jordan. Just an awful television product. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at Fox. I'm mad at FIFA that I got up here at 11 and I wasted 90 minutes of my life that I will literally never get back preparing for the draw. Let's push all that to the side. This draw for the United States is perfect. Now, it's worth noting that the host countries are usually given a little kiss. They're given a little nod, a little nudge, a little wink, wink. Hey, we have your back because the longer the host nation goes, the better it is for ticket sales, television partners, everyone. So they try their best in the way they build these groups to benefit the host nation. That has always been a thing. But even in that pantheon, boy, this couldn't have gone better for the United States. They play Paraguay to start their group play. Carrington, in a match that only hardcore soccer fans were watching, a month ago, the U.S. thumped Paraguay. They just played them. They beat them. Australia. The Socceroos are fun. They're exciting. They're interesting, mostly because you get to say Socceroos. They are not a world power. They should take care of business there. Now, we don't know their fourth team because there's a play-in game to see who the fourth team is. It might be Turkey, which could be a little bit of a problem. But if it's not Turkey, it could be Kosovo, which the average fan listening has no idea where Kosovo even is. So this is a real win for the United States on the field. And I saw a friend of the show, Nick Wright, refer to this group as the group of life. They have given air to the United States making a run. I don't think they're a finals team or a semifinals team, but could I see the United States winning this group and ending up in a round of 16 or a quarterfinal match because everything's breaking right? I could. The group has been just the easiest path to the United States.
So you're confident? Because I only bring this
I'm
up.
I'm confident their group is easy, which makes life easy. Okay. It's like when the NCAA tournament is released and you're like, man, we're a two seed.
You but like your draw.
You like your draw. That's it's part of it's not just who you are. It's who you get to play.
I only bring that up because you know that one of my theories is everybody cheers for Missouri. You might not cheer for actual Missouri, but there is a team that you root for and support that gives you that same feeling. You get all excited about them. And at the moment you're at your most excited, they crush your dreams. You cheer for Missouri. You cheer for United States men's soccer. You guys have probably learned this about Rob. That's Rob's favorite team. Like, if I could tell you right now that there is one team that he could see make a run, Rob would take the United States making the Final Four of the World Cup over Kansas winning the national championship in basketball or football. He just wants to see United States men's soccer. So the fact that you're so excited about their draw, Rob, the same way that you would tell me as a Missouri fan, hey, man, don't get that excited about it. They're only going to let you down. I have to give you that same advice as my brother. Stop doing this with the United States soccer team. All they've ever given you is heartbreak and disappointment. And now you're really excited. They got Australia. They got this. You're starting to do, oh, they can get to the round of 16. You're doing that thing again. And I just want to warn you to just dial back your expectations for American soccer, right? That's all I'm telling you is dial it back.
What you're asking me to do is stop being a fan. Cause what being a fan is inherently is believing in something that won't happen. It's last year, the NCAA tournament, when I said, you know, if KU can beat Arkansas, they can beat St. John's. They couldn't beat St. John's. You do it every year at Missouri. Fans listening do it every year. I've seen people on social media talking about how Colin Klein could have this team in the Big 12 title game next year. This is what fandom is, man. Let me have my moment before I get disappointed by a single moment on the actual pitch.
You know what? That's right. I'm wrong. Let me apologize to you because I am clearly in the wrong here about what it means to be a fan. You're 100% right. Be excited. Go crazy. I saw you. You were already on the apps messing around, placing some soccer futures. So I want you to be happy. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to celebrate. Congratulations to the United States for getting a favorable draw in the World Cup. And by the next time that we talk on Monday, we will know exactly who is playing at Arrowhead and when, and then we can break those games down. We'll get back to the World Cup coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by someone to break down the groups and also how he feels the United States, how their group ended up shaking out. Coming up on the other side, we got a great weekend in football, both college and the NFL. We'll get to it coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get back to football coming up at the top of the hour. I guess more specifically, Chiefs football. But let's take a quick trip around the country. And let's do that because this is a strong week in football. We have the SEC and Big Ten championship with major playoff implications. We also have five very, very important playoff atmosphere type games in the National Football League. So, Rob, if we can do this, why don't we call this the weekend six-pack? There's six big games. If you remove Texans and Chiefs, let's give our thoughts on those games as we get people ready for the weekend. Carrington, we'll start our six-pack on Saturday. We will start with the SEC title game. We got Georgia and Bama. Carrington, Bama has two losses. Are they in jeopardy of being out of the playoff with a loss on Saturday? Because Georgia might be the best team in college football this season.
I actually think Georgia's going to win the championship this year. I've already placed a futures bet on Georgia to be the national champion this season. There is no, is Alabama in danger? Alabama is missing the playoff if they lose this game. I told you guys, my rule is very, very simple. We used to give you zero losses. Then we gave you one loss. Now you can have two. You can't have three. This would be Alabama's third loss of the season. If Alabama loses this, they are not making the college football playoff. They would not be in my playoff. So, yes, they absolutely need to win this. Now, for Georgia, this is the difference in you having a bye in the first round of the playoffs. This is also the difference in you having a home playoff game coming up in a couple of weeks. So, certainly something to still play for if you're the Georgia Bulldogs. But this is Alabama's season. This is their Super Bowl. Let's see how they respond. I do think that they have the quarterback advantage in this game with Ty Simpson. I think that Ty Simpson has actually been the best quarterback in college football this season, even though I don't think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. This is an Alabama team that it's been a while, it feels like, since they've won this kind of game. And Kalen DeBoer doesn't have this kind of win yet on his resume. Let's see if he can get it on Saturday in the SEC championship game.
Later that night, we'll see the Big Ten title game between number one and number two in college football, Ohio State against Indiana. Carrington,
who do you got in the SEC championship game?
I got Georgia as well. Although I saw a stat that Georgia has only beat Bama once in the last eight matchups, and it was a national title game that one year. Like, whatever it is, Bama has Georgia's number. But I do think Georgia's the better team. Saturday night, the playoffs not on the line. We both believe Indiana and Ohio State are locks regardless. But do you believe Indiana can, you know, maybe shrug off what was their worst loss last season and compete with the Buckeyes? Or is this an Ohio State coronation on Saturday night?
I think that they have been waiting. They, meaning Ohio State, they have been waiting for an opportunity.
to show everybody that they're the best team in the country. I don't really think they've had that opportunity. Week one against Texas, that was in early September. People have forgotten about that. I thought they showed great poise in the second half of a rivalry game against Michigan, but this is the game that we have all been waiting for. This is the game that people have had circled since the very beginning. Basically, since Indiana beat Oregon earlier this season, is what is it going to look like when these two teams go up against one another? I think we get our answer. Indiana has had a very, very good season, but there is a difference in Indiana as a program and at Ohio State as a program. And I think that is well known this weekend that the Buckeyes, they're the Buckeyes, and I think they prove why they're the best program in college football. I actually think they kind of win this game going away. I can see this being like 31-14. I think there's a chance Ohio State puts the work on Indiana.
I think the same. I think what happened last year in the Horseshoe could be happening on the only reason I give Indiana a chance is the emotional letdown of Ohio State finally getting the Michigan monkey off their back, and maybe they have a little bit of a letdown, but I think Ohio State's about to show the world, hey, we're special. Let's head to the pro game, Carrington, and we'll start the four games this weekend that are most watchable. We'll start with the AFC North title on the line, perhaps. The 6-6 Steelers take on the 6-6 Ravens, a game that had a lot more cachet early in the season, but still just as much juice. Carrington, who do you think is going to win, and do you believe the winner has an inside track to win that division?
The winner certainly has the inside track. I mean, the allure of both of these teams is just fading very quickly. I don't know how you can be super confident in Pittsburgh, and something's just wrong with Lamar Jackson this year. He doesn't have a rush over 20 yards. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 3 weeks. Derrick Henry isn't as effective as he's been in years past. This is just a very different kind of Ravens team. I'll take them because they're the home team. I do think they're better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think we are finally officially heading towards the divorce between Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. I think Pittsburgh misses the postseason this year, and it finally gives them the opportunity to move on from Mike Tomlin. I think the relationship is too frayed between organization, fan, and coach that I don't think you can bring everything back next year. I expect the Steelers to move forward next year with a new head coach and a new quarterback. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens to win this game.
I feel like the Ravens, I think, are the better team, but this is the kind of game that Mike Tomlin always rises up and wins. Like, I think he's coaching for his job, and I actually think the Ravens are weird and broken. I think the Steelers win on Sunday. Another game with potentially the division on the line, Colts and Jags. You just heard Landry Locker say he's picking the Jags in the AFC South. You know where I sit on it. Carrington, I know you think the Colts are leaking oil.
I think they're done. I think they're cooked. They're not leaking oil. They're cooked. I think the Indianapolis Colts are outright missing the postseason. I'm big on how you start to play in November as the calendar starts to turn, and that being an indicative of who you are. They have lost three of their last four games against playoff teams. They lost to the Steelers, and they're a playoff-ish team. They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Houston. Now, fast-forwarding to December, they have Jacksonville, Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, and Houston. What do I think the Colts' record is in that game? I think they win one, maybe two of those games. I think the Colts are missing the playoffs. Give me Jacksonville, absolutely.
Jags AFC South preseason prediction looking pretty good on this side of the glass. Miffed a lot of the others. Might nail that one. Speaking of games that had a lot more cachet preseason but still carry some importance on Sunday, the Bengals are headed to Buffalo. Carrington, do you believe Joe Burrow and the Bengals still have an outside chance winning that division? And if you do, they have to go on the road and get a win against Buffalo. And what talk about a team taking on oil. Leaking oil, excuse me. What do we think about the Buffalo Bills?
You know what? I'm going to take Buffalo here for this reason. Did we not see what just happened on Thursday night? I fell for it. Man, the Cowboys look a lot better. Man, they need this game. They're going on the road. They're going to figure it out. Is that not the same situation that the Bengals find themselves in? All of a sudden, everybody is on the same page. And now it's, I think Buffalo wins this game. At home, I think they just scratch it out. And what I'm going to pick against with Cincinnati is, do you trust that defense to travel on the road? The same thing we saw with the Cowboys. You're going up against a team that can score, against a team with a good offense, and we saw the Cowboys' defense is exactly what we thought it was. I think that same thing is going to happen in this game. It feels good. It sounds good. I think Buffalo takes care of business at home against Cincinnati. I'm taking Buffalo to take care of business.
I know, up against the clock, final big game, not including Monday Night Football on this weekend. but we got Bears and Packers, another division on the line, Carrington. Are you a believer in Ben Johnson?
No, hold on. I want you to give me my credit. Who did I say was going to be the one seed at the beginning of the season?
You had Jordan Love as the one seed.
I said Green Bay. I told you. And now they're starting to prove it. They're starting to play good football. They're starting to get right at the right time. The Bears are fraudulent. You guys know I'm really big on point differential. The point differential for the Patriots is plus 110. The point differential for the Broncos, plus 66. The point differential for the Rams, plus 124. The point differential for Chicago is plus 6. They're 6 games over 500. They might have a negative point differential at the end of this week, even as they're a 9-4 football team. Do not buy it. Please sell all of your Chicago Bears stock. Get out while you can. Yes, give me the Green Bay Packers at home, taking care of business. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs have somewhat done an about-face. They said that Wanye Morris and Jalen Moore are both getting work on left and right tackle. We'll discuss it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.